Thanks for reminding me of that.
I appreciate that. I meant to tell you this on Monday. Then I meant to tell you on Tuesday. Then I meant to tell you on Wednesday and so forth. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender here on a Friday on the Revelation series. Listen, I'm coming to Los Angeles, California on November the 7th, Saturday, November the 7th, 1 p.m. There's going to be a meeting in LACA. More specifically, I guess, Glendale, California. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. It's nestled right in there south of Burbank. I guess it would be west of Pasadena and north of Los Angeles proper. Going to be at the home of Sandy Scott. And I'd love to see you there. Sorry about the late notice. I did write about this in my newsletter, so I don't feel too bad. Let me give you the information here. You can write to Sandy Scott or call her. Her email address is earthgirl777@gmail.com. That's right. I said earthgirl. Even though she's a member of the body of Christ, she calls herself earthgirl here. earthgirl777. Love those numbers. @gmail.com. Or you can call her at area code 310-734-9874. If you're in California or neighboring Nevada, or if you're in a ship out in the Pacific Ocean, I want you to dock that ship and come on over to Glendale. We're going to have a wonderful meeting there. How do I know it'll be wonderful? Well, because I am going to teach. This is my plan. I'll tell you this. It could change, but I'll try to stick to this. I want to teach on the faith of Paul and Abraham, because I find that what is the most strenuous thing for us today in the waning days of this eon is faith, because we ain't seeing nothing, folks. It's all spiritual revelation, and we're not seeing anything. Or if you like to say, we ain't seeing nothing. And so I see wonderful examples in the scripture, Paul and Abraham. So going to delve into this, and we're going to open the floor, and I want to hear your comments. We're going to talk. We're going to have an open discussion, unless you say something really dumb. Then I'm going to shut you down so fast. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm very gracious. People think I'm tough, but I'm very nice in person. You have to meet me to believe it. Yes, very agreeable. And I love to hear what other people have to say about God. So now, I want you to see the difference between fumes and clouds, between smoke and clouds, because as I've intimated, up to this point, we have seen the fumes and the smoke and the fire, but now we're seeing a messenger who I think is probably Michael descending from heaven in a cloud. Clouds, or let's start with the flames. Flames, heat, judgment, this stuff rises. Clouds start up there. Clouds are better, I think. You know, the fumes and the fire are used for judgment from beneath. All the judgment comes from beneath. We have even the messengers who were disobedient in the days of Noah are stored beneath the earth. But now we have judgment coming from above, and it's a judgment clothed in the sun and a rainbow, so it speaks of the righteousness, the goodness of God. Now, the fumes, as you recall, in the days of the locusts, they came from the abyss. It rose out of the abyss, these fumes, in chapter 9, verse 2. Smoke rises from the conflagration of Babylon. When Babylon is destroyed, we're not there yet. It's in chapter 18, verse 9. Smoke rises. It rises. However, the clouds, they're already up there. They draw from the sun and the moisture from the earth, and they form. And the Lord comes with clouds. And we see that at the beginning of this book in 1 verse 7. Should I go there? Why not? Okay, I'm in verse 7, chapter 1. Lo, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall be seeing him. Also those who stab him. He's coming with clouds. He is coming for us separately, beforehand, also in clouds. So clouds, we're starting to see, if I may say, we're starting to see the end. And the messenger does say that consummated God's purpose is finally being done. And we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, we had an interesting discussion at the meeting here about the word parousia, the presence of the Lord. Because not only are we seeing the presence of the Lord here in the unveiling, the presence of the Lord literally coming, setting his feet on Mount Zion. We also have Paul using the same word, parousia, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The we who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. And it is tempting to think that just because the word parousia is used in both passages, that therefore it's the same presence. It's not. We dealt with this issue with the word trumpet. People see a trumpet being blown with the seventh trumpet of the unveiling, and they also see the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, when we are to be snatched away. And they think, oh, trumpet and trumpet, it must be the same trumpet. That, my friends, is illogical. Now, it could be, but it's not necessarily so. We have to look at context. And if we look at the context of the parousia, well, let's start with the trumpets. If we looked at the context of the trumpets, which I've done previously, we're going to see so many differences between the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 and the seventh trump of the unveiling, chapter 11. Many differences. Likewise, parousia. If we look at the coming of the Lord for us, in 1 Thessalonians 4, I mean, he doesn't even set foot on the earth, which contrasts it with his parousia to Israel. When he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, it's a secret. It's hidden from view. There are clouds, but they hide this amazing activity of us being snatched away into the heaven, hides it from the inhabitants of the earth. On the other hand, his parousia at the end of this eon, it's with great fanfare and every eye shall see him. Many more contrasts. So the presence of a word that is similar between one passage and another passage doesn't mean it's the same. So along that line, we need to recognize differences between smoke and fumes, between the Lord coming in clouds and the Lord coming in judgment with fumes. And he reaps the harvest of the earth seated on a cloud. And that's from the unveiling. We're not there. Obviously, chapter 14, verse 16, reaps the harvest seated on a cloud. I love it how God sits on clouds. When I used to go through the sky on an airplane when I was a kid, and okay, I admit it, even now, I think how nice and comfortable and cozy it would be to sit on a cloud. It seems so puffy and nice. Well, these are the same kinds of clouds that Christ sits on. He doesn't literally sit on them. But the clouds are a type and a metaphor of glory. The glory cloud. And of fair weather coming. So I would like you to contrast also the cloud-clothed messenger, messenger number 5, the unveiling chapter 10, contrast him with Apollyon. There's Apollyon. We just read about Apollyon coming from the midst of the fumes of the abyss, and the smoke-screened horses, this horse's bellowing smoke from the four messengers of the Euphrates coming up from beneath again. All this judgment coming from beneath, and now we see a messenger of God directly now coming from above, coming to destroy the demon worshipers that were inspired by terrestrial forces. And he executes judgment to his own special people, who are really the ones looking for celestial powers. The people on the earth aren't. All right, look. The people on the earth were not looking for a celestial power, because even the Christians of the earth, they want the power to come from within them. It's all human-based power. And today, as I speak, the political powers are coming together because they want to be the initiators of this kingdom on earth. Even though they say it's of God, they want it to be of them, and they want to be the initiators of the politics of it. And so the fumes from below come to take care of the nations. But now we're dealing with Israel. And Israel, even though she's misguided, I tell you, a rabbi will still walk down the road and put his nose down at you, because they are so superior, because they think they're still looking for the Messiah. But I'll give them this much. They're still looking for a celestial answer. And so finally, a messenger is going to come from above with a celestial answer. And humanity always looks for a silver lining. Some of them not legitimately, but nevertheless, I'd like to point out to you that The fifth messenger has a rainbow surrounding him and has a face like the sun. And this is exactly what speaks to the optimist in me, but also the optimist of those Israelites who are then going through the trial of their lives. Because in the midst of it, some of them are going to be looking for that silver lining. And it's here. It's here with the rainbow, and it's here with the sun radiating from the face of this messenger. Here's the exact words. A strong messenger descending out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow on his head, and his face as the sun. But his feet are the pillars of fire. So this is the baptism, I believe, of Israel, the baptism of fire. Jesus said you're going to be baptized with water and with fire. John baptized them with water. It was a time of their calling. It was a time when they were being stirred, as the waters of the pool were stirred, when the Spirit of God moved, and Israel was being stirred, and they were on probation at that time, if you will. But they rejected their Messiah, and now they're going to be baptized with fire. And here we see, no coincidence, that the feet of the fifth messenger are as pillars of fire. And these are the feet that are straddling the earth, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. And the fire of God, the baptism of fire, is going to come. But for those Israelites with insight, it is going to come with the rainbow and with the sun. It is going to come with a promise that soon, very soon, your dearest hopes and dreams will be realized. You will be the leaders in the earth. You will be the head and not the tail. You are coming into the kingdom finally. And so they're looking above those of insight. And now, on a personal note, not me personally, but God personally, those of you who are upset at God, those of you who curse God, I'm sorry to say that I sometimes have pointed my finger at God. But God does not forget human frailty. I want to leave you with this thought for the week. God remembers human frailty. He's not crazy. He's not unfeeling about your sensibilities. He hasn't forgotten your pain. Even when his judgments are in the earth, he remembers mercy. There's a verse along that line in the Old Testament. When your judgments are in the earth, you remember mercy. I'm seriously paraphrasing it right now. But God never acts in judgment without mercy. And we're seeing this perfectly here with the fifth messenger. That's why I was so excited at the beginning of the week to read and study the details of this fifth messenger. The feet are flames, but the head is clothed. Clouds, sun. Clouds are good here, I think. Clouds, sun, and the rainbow. And God's promises are much better and much to be desired over man's philosophies. Man's philosophies are terrible. And although they are put forward as wisdom, they are purportedly the wisdom that we need. We need the philosophies. No. David would say, "Give me the judgments of God rather than the judgments or the philosophies of humanity." Though those things which humanity wants to bring you, wants to give you, though the things even your church wants to give you seem good, you're better off to fall in the hands of God, who never ever forgets your frailty. And though his judgments fall sore upon you, and I realize this, and they do upon me too, I still know that his head is clothed in the sun and in the rainbow. That if you look and you see the way he operates, even here in the book of the unveiling, the harshest judgments God will ever bring, he still remembers Murthy. Murthy. I went to school with that guy. His name was Kevin Murthy. He still remembers mercy. He never forgets what he's about. We forget what he's about because we're so overcome by the trials. We're so lost in the darkness sometimes. And we look out and all we can see are those flaming feet and they're stomping. And this is Israel. When this fifth messenger descends, they see the flaming feet and they think, trial, trial. But look up. for your redemption draws nigh. And when the astute Israelite looks up, and when you look up, you are going to see the head of God radiating as the sun. Because when we ascend, we're coming into that headship. We're coming into the radiation of light. We're coming into the rainbow of promise, of promise. God has promised to deliver us. But this is why he said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And my exhortation to you Israelites listening to this message at the end of the eon is, even though the fire of baptism, the fiery baptism is now engulfing you, I want you to look up, because you're going to see the head of the one who has promised to bring you into the kingdom, the rainbow, and you're going to see the sun of his favor. Because I swear to you, even in the midst of trial, it has never left you and it will never leave you.